Well, as hard as it is to digest, a bit of foreshadowing there, by the way, we're halfway through June. Subsistence fishing is probably about to get hot and heavy for most folks, possibly even as this episode is airing. Fact is, tomorrow is the first day of summer, as it is on the calendar and all official and all. Spring of 2020 is almost gone. Oh, spring, we barely knew ye. It being summer probably makes a lot of people happy, and while my very consistent personal perspective, each day gets us one day closer to fall and winter, well, even I'm happy enough it's summer. I have some very high hopes that I'm going to get in the work days to have a usable cabin by the time moose season is here. In addition to the fish starting to come in and people putting out nets, I'm guessing a lot of people are also indulging in camping, or maybe just day trips, out and about with family. I've talked on here before about tents, a topic I enjoy, as well as things like air mats, sleeping bags, and securing potable water. One thing I'm not sure I've ever talked about is the solid part of the sustenance equation. What do you eat while you're out there? Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. Ultimately, on every possible level, food choice is one of the more personal statements we make about who we are, whether that's the snacks we survive on while traveling through airports, to the very formal meals we prepare for groups of people. Case in point, I have never tried muktuk. I have no real desire to try it. For those that zealously enjoy it, I'm happy for you, truly. Another example. During my high school and college years, I really enjoyed frog legs. I'm talking really large legs, such as those found on the big beefy bullfrogs found in Kansas. And believe me, Kansas has gazillions of them. How much did I enjoy them? I actually served them for supper on a couple of dates. My point being, food is a seriously personal aspect to our lives. That carries over to what we take into the outdoors with us. What do you take with you, and why? Let's take a look at that today. There are a lot of considerations to be given to the thought of camping food, even beyond the personal preference angle. Some examples of factors I'd like to toss out include food state, fresh versus canned or other, group size, trip purpose, location, duration, time of year, how you plan to get there, and other things, such as the likelihood of bears. And if you're like me, you have some food selections that are favorites and have made the cut for a lot of years, while at the same time your choices change with time. And there's yet another opportunity for that Heraclitus quote, "Nothing stays the same but change." Because I'll be sharing my own personal choices, in part, I'm going to whiff on some things for some, and that's okay. The idea is just to think about what you take and why, and how you can maybe bolster what you do take. An example, condiments. For my own personal trips, you'll never, ever, ever find me taking ketchup. I do not eat ketchup. I happen to think it's positively vile. My hunting buddy, on the other hand, believes it's the greatest thing ever, possibly even surpassing sliced bread. No, you will not hear me talk about the greatness of ketchup during today's program. Allow me to share two perspectives on camping and food that have been a big part of my life in Alaska. The first is with my job and the summer camps we normally have for area teens. One of my mantras has always been that well-fed teens are happy teens, and I like working with happy teens. So I try to make sure that we are well-stocked with regards to both meals and snacks. During our trips, I have a game plan that's worked, so I've largely stuck with it. When I say it's worked, that's to say that the kids seem grateful for what we have, and I've never had a camper complain about the food aspect of our camps. I provide a hot breakfast, a simple lunch that's sometimes hot or sometimes cold, a hot supper, and a bevy of snacks throughout the day. For snacks, I lean heavily on granola bars of various sorts, fruit snacks, and Rice Krispie treats. Fruits like apples and bananas are also brought, but in my experience, fresh stuff tends to go bad really quickly while camping. For the hot meals, we often start with fresh stuff and transition to canned or dry stuff, but that doesn't have to mean it's lesser food. Often the last supper of a trip is chicken noodle soup that I do from scratch and using canned chicken breast. It's always a huge hit. The trick is to have enough to keep a group of teens well fed. I will say that prepping for trips like these is made easier through the fact that I'm not personally picking up the tab for either food or transportation to our campsites. At the other end of that spectrum would be my personal trips. Frankly, when I'm out doing something, be it working on my cabin or hunting, I tend to be pretty minimalistic. I am there for whatever the purpose at hand is, and I can be very satisfied eating stuff that I don't actually have to cook. I'll relax that a bit with a friend along, but even my daughters have gotten used to me keeping it simple. Who knows? Maybe that's how they'll indoctrinate their own kids to camp food someday, or maybe they'll go way far in the other direction. I can subsist on just snack foods, with favorite choices being fruit snacks, nuts of various sorts, jerky or beef sticks, candy bars. I love Snickers Almond and Milky Way, and corn nuts. Those are just a few items that come to mind. If I do cook a hot meal, it's often something really basic, like ramen noodles with something thrown in, such as Little Smokies or bacon bits. I like durable foods. Chips are fine, but I default to Pringles or shoestring potatoes, as both are less likely to get beat up. Spray cheese keeps well as a condiment. In place of bread, I know a lot of people take pilot bread, and I do sometimes as well. My go-to bread substitute when camping is flour tortillas. They keep well, a whole lot of them takes up very little space, and you can do an awful lot with them. I like stuff that I can keep a lid on the odor and stuff that cleans up easily. Pop-Tarts is a common breakfast food, as are those packages of pre-cooked bacon slices. In recent years, I've softened a little. I'll bring a small amount of frozen meats like pork chops or stew meat. One thing I do like to do, if it's a hunting trip, and I've mentioned this before, is include meat from fresh kills, be it moose or caribou. I like to fix a bit in camp after the harvest, so that's a planned part of the menu, if something's shot. I'm guessing a lot of you do something similar, either with game meat or possibly with fish. Let me give a couple of examples of keeping it simple. This from a trip last month. One morning's breakfast was strawberry Pop-Tarts, sliced bacon, dark chocolate protein bars, and coffee. Very much an outdoors breakfast of champions in my book. One supper, when the air seemed chill along the beach and a hot meal seemed like a good idea, I fried up some stew meat. Realizing I forgot my shaker of seasonings, I crushed up Cheez-Its and sprinkled them through the meat as I was cooking. It was quite tasty. Again, there's a lot to think about beyond preference. Pretty much what I described above is what I put together for 5 to 10 day trips, both for the kid camps for my job, which are typically 5 or 6 days, and for my personal trips, which can be a bit longer. If it's a day trip, obviously that doesn't take much. If you're traveling upriver in a pretty good sized skiff for moose hunting, you can take a lot more, and maybe it doesn't have to be as durable. Maybe you take a lot more frozen or fresh stuff, and actual bread and buns can be included. It's kind of the same for a winter camp. If you've got a nice big sled, maybe you can haul more elaborate meal items or larger quantities, depending on how many people you have to feed. You may have other considerations as well, such as any medical or health issues. Maybe candy bars aren't a part of your list due to health restrictions you might have. I do think that during the warmer months, keeping bears in mind is a good idea, something else I've said on here before. I never ever have food in my sleep tent. I tend to let where I'm at dictate my level of concern, though I recognize anywhere can have bears. It's just that some places are heavier use areas than others. I try to make sure there's never food on the ground, all trash is kept contained, and my food is kept in a designated area. During that trip last month, I had a cook tent, as I often do. I decided the level of activity wasn't all that high, so I didn't put up a bare fence around the cook tent, though I did have the parts for one on hand. The big thing is just being aware. It's that time of year, and will be for the next several months. One thing I haven't mentioned is the option of freeze-dried food. Some folks like it, others, well, not so much. There can be no debating a few things, though. First, freeze-dried foods are very lightweight and take up very little space. If you're traveling light or maybe flying in, having a few freeze-dried meals isn't a bad way to go. Also, the variety today is more than it's ever been, and some of them are very, very good. My favorite, hands down, is biscuits and gravy. It's amazing to me that adding water to a pouch can produce a meal that tastes that good and actually has the texture of the real meal as well. I try not to look at the dietary facts label, though. I think just looking at the sodium content would somehow trigger a psychic event in the mind of my cardiologist that would have dire consequences for me during my next checkup. Again, food is such a personal choice, and that extends to our time outdoors. Maybe a part of the outdoor experience for you, when lived the way it should be, involves a level that's closer to catered meals than roughing it. And I happen to have one friend who has actually gone that route on fishing trips, catered meals. If that's a part of what makes your time outdoors more meaningful, then more power to you. And I mean that both sincerely and warmly. From my perspective, whatever gets us outdoors more is a good thing. Or maybe you're like me, just a bit of fuel into the body while other things are gotten done, like putting up a wall on a cabin or quartering a moose. The bottom line, stay hydrated, eat enough to keep you going strong, and enjoy the heck out of the time while you're out there. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon, Echo Lake, provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.